the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, and I want to read just a little bit. Now, as I read this to you, I want you to really consider what I'm saying. You know, this is hard to believe, but I was telling Brother Bill Cartridge today how that I've spoke to people over and over and over, preached to them over and over, and yet they don't receive it. They're in a fog, they're at a distance, they're clouded up, they just can't seem to get it. Though we preach over and over and over, yet they just can't seem to break through. They appear to be just as religious as anybody, but as far as really getting through, they can't seem to get through. And this that I'm going to read to you tonight is a real serious thing, and I want you to think over it, and I want you to remember this as we talk with you, that God is a spirit. How many of you know that God is a spirit? Now you raise your hand, and I appreciate that, but do you really know what I mean when I say God is a spirit? See, He is above us, He is in us, and He is through us. Heaven is His throne, earth is His footstool. That means that He is not only in heaven, but He is in earth. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Isn't that right? But the Bible said earth is His footstool. Now, how could earth be His footstool if part of Him wasn't on the footstool? Amen. So then, that means He is in earth too. Paul said He is above us, He is in us, and He is through us. That means He is everywhere. Everywhere. God, the eternal Spirit. Paul spoke to him at Mars Hill and said, I want to tell you the name of God. I want to declare unto you the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. Like Indians, they ignorantly worship God. They call Him the Great Spirit. They know that God's a spirit and they call Him the Great Spirit. But they don't know how to worship God, do they? They don't know how to worship God. They've never been taught how to worship God. So they do it in their own primitive means and modes, and God allows them to go on until such time as somebody comes to them with the gospel. Alright, reading in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being private to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You know, now I didn't pick this tonight, but I want to comment just a little bit on it. You know, it is a serious thing and a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Isn't that right? See, God gives sermons. God gives messages, and we don't have anything to do with the sermons, and we don't have anything to do with the messages. If God gives a sermon or a message, He gives it because it is needed. That means that somebody somewhere needs the message, or God wouldn't bring it to us. Isn't that right? And the Bible said when the minister goes to speak, if he's really a man of God and he's sincere, he has given his heart, his time, his effort, and ability to God, then it will not be the man speaking, but God speaking from within his temple. For ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost walks in this temple, and God the Holy Ghost walks in your temple. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. So then, if God is a spirit, and God is inside of my temple, then, as Paul said, I have heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Now, if it is God that speaks to us, then that makes it even more fearful. For the Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You're not in the hands of a living God until you come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know that we're all in the presence of God, but the way that God deals with us, he deals with us according to knowledge. Isn't that right? According to knowledge. God deals with us according to what we know. To whom much is given, much is required. To that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that knew not to do his Lord's will shall be beaten with few stripes. Isn't that right? So then, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And we become the age of accountability. That is, we begin to understand, then we are at the age of accountability. And when we come to the age of accountability, then God begins to require certain things of us. God begins to expect us then to mold our lives into the image of the Son of God. God expects us then to turn away from sin, away from evil, and away from the things of the world and begin to be Christ-like. We are commanded of God to go on into the perfectness of God. Go on into the perfection of God. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and faith toward God. In other words, we can't just keep on saying I'm sorry. We can't keep trespassing against people and trespassing against people's feelings and trespassing against people's rights and just keep repenting and saying I'm sorry. God won't accept that. You can't just keep on here at Little Bethlehem trespassing against the laws and the rules and the regulations that we've set up from the Bible and then God lets you by with it. How do you know that? See, God expects us to do something, folks. You say, what does he expect me to do, Brother Pike? He expects us to go on under perfection. In other words, God expects us to keep moving on. When Moses stopped back at the Red Sea, what did God say to him? Moses stopped. He saw an obstacle. He saw the Red Sea. He couldn't go over. He began to lean to his own understanding. He knew that he couldn't get over that water. He knew that it was sure death if he led them people out in that water. But God did not consider the circumstances. Is that right? God does not consider circumstances. In other words, God considers his word. And God said, Moses, what are you doing standing still? He said, go forward, Moses. You follow me? God considers his word. So he expects us to do something. What is that something? To go on to perfection. To move on in God. To put little things out of our life that brings us into the judgment of God like Ananias and Sapphira did. Ananias knew better than to do what she did. Is that right? They knew better than to do what they did. They didn't move on with God. They were in the church. God said, Moses, move on. Is that right? You've got to move on. God expects us to move on, brothers and sisters. We can't just stay where we're at. We've got to move on with God. If you've been in the church for 5 or 10 years and you're still going through that same old ritualistic thing that you was 5 or 10 years ago, then God is angry with you. Somebody said, I'm a good Baptist. You're not a good Baptist. You're a devil. Come on, folks. Not a good Baptist when you stop somewhere and you don't go on with God and you say, I've been in the Baptist church for 10 long years. Do you understand what I mean? There ain't no good Baptist with God. Somebody said, I'm a good Pentecostal. You're a devil. There ain't no good Pentecostals with God. There's only one term that God's got. That is if you are a Christian. Which means means Christ like. Not a good Baptist, not a good Methodist, not a good Church of God, not a good Pentecostal. But if you are Christ like, God expects us to move on, folks. He's wanting you to move up in God. He's wanting me to move up in God. He's wanting us to move up in God. We've got people that's been in the church for 5 and 10 years. They're just like a hair-triggered gun. All you got to do is just raise your voice a little at them or get them upset, and just immediately they lamb-blast you with everything they got. They've got a temper like a wildcat. All you've got to do is just rub them wrong just a little bit. But yet they've been in the church for many years. God frowns on things like that. God's angry with people like that. God wants you to move up. You say, into what, Brother Pike? Going on to perfection. Hallelujah. God wants us to go on to perfection. God doesn't want us to be like a little bunch of children that never try to learn, that never try to do anything. Wouldn't it be aggravating if you was a school teacher and had a bunch of children that you knew was old enough to learn, and you knew that was old enough to do what you told them to do, and all they wanted to do was sit and cut out paper dolls? Wouldn't that upset you? Wouldn't it? It does God. See, God's like a mother. A mother will clean up her house, you know, get it nice and tidy, and then the little child will come in and he'll clutter it all up. A lot of times he's old enough to know better. The mother's done instructing him, don't clutter up the floor. But he does it anyway. So the mother dusts the seat of his pants real good with a strap. You see what I'm talking about? God expects us to move up, not to clutter the church up with a bunch of gossip, not to clutter the church up with the old carnal mind, not to go around indoctrinating somebody with their ideas and theory just to soothe their feeling. When the preacher preaches something and it goes contrary to their feelings, let it lay just like it is. A lot of times the preacher would say something and it'll hit somebody and somebody will be real downcast. And here goes somebody just as hard as they can go, going over there to lift the load off of them, through them, and then they come back a worse devil than they was to start with. But when we do something, let it be like that. The Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly. If the church withdraws from a brother, you've got no business messing with him. You're in violation of God's policy. God had the church to withdraw from him, to make him ashamed, or he'll repent of his sins. The Bible said, if a brother don't work, neither shall he eat. If a man's not willing to help carry the load, then you're not supposed to console him. You're supposed to reprove him in love and let him know that he ought to be ashamed. Come on, folks. I'm talking about the church of God working together. Somebody said, the thing that bothers me is I think he'll run off from home. That's true. Every now and then you have a teenager to run off from home, but every now and then you have one of them to run back too after they get out there and stay a while. Amen. Now then, you're going to lose some people. Have you know that? The church is going to lose some people. We've got to keep it straight in our minds and remember that everybody isn't going with us. Now, we're not going to lose any Christians. We're not going to lose any children of God. We're not going to lose any elect, because Jesus said, Father, I've not lost a one of them. Everyone that you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. But who are we going to lose? Those that are not of us, brothers and sisters. We're going to lose those that's not of us. If it had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were never of us. You understand what I'm saying? Why does people pout and run off? Because they never was right in God to start with. They never was united with the church to start with. They never did get born of the Spirit of God to start with. If they never got the Spirit of God, you could have spit in their face, slapped them, pushed them down, beat them, and kicked them, and they got up and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you get somebody that's religious like Cain was, you say something to them, the Bible said you rebuke a fool, you'll get yourself a blot. All you've got to do is rebuke one of them. or come against some of the evils that they're doing, the next thing you know, they've spread it all over the community. Everywhere they've got it going. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly the same spirit that Ananias and Sapphira had. They said, we want to line up with the church, Peter. Peter said, that's fine. We want to be part of the church. That's good. But Peter said, do you want to do your part in the church? We want to be part of God's benefits, don't we? We want to be part of God's church, don't we? But do we want to do our part in the church? That's the thing. No, they didn't want to do that. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we've already given. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Ananias and Sapphira had too. I want you to see this now. Ananias and Sapphira had apparently already given in the offering. Isn't that right? But they hadn't given the right thing. What was it they liked? Giving their heart and life to God. If they'd ever give their heart and life to God, they would have lied to the Holy Ghost. Isn't it right? If you'd give your heart and life to God, you wouldn't lie to the man of God because you're lying to the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lie to God. You can't cheat God. You can't swindle God. You can't pull shady deals on God. Why do you do the way that you do? Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, said, what is this that you've done? Said, you ought to know better than that. Anybody ought to have enough reason not to conspire against the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm glad that I'm not like Ananias and Sapphira. I'm glad that I wouldn't conspire against the Holy Ghost, but you have done it. Amen, you have done it. When you gossip and backbite and bicker and find fault with the church and with the preacher and with the laity of the church, you're conspiring against the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you do it to the least of these, you're doing it against me. When you go home and you get your wife in a corner and you begin to conspire against the church and find fault and say things, you're speaking against the Holy Ghost. You know what the Bible said? One word spoken against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven in this world, nor the world to come. You know the only way that God is protecting you to keep you from blaspheming the Holy Spirit is Jesus said the reproaches of them that reproach him, speaking of the Spirit, fell upon me. In other words, because the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is still in your midst, then the reproaches that would go to the Holy Ghost, to hit the Holy Ghost, or to fall upon the Spirit of God, falls upon us and we catch the repercussion and God lets you off by that reason. You understand that? But someday you'll go too far. You can't speak against God. What is this? Why did God give me this message tonight? What is this God's trying to say to us tonight? Somebody is doing too much talking. There are some people that's running their mouths too much. And the Bible says their mouths ought to be stopped. And you know better. There's some of you that know better than to talk like you're talking. There's some of you that know better than to do what you're doing. There's some of you that know better than to say the things that you're saying. But you go on anyway. But I bear your record, you're going to go too far. We've had people here in this church, numbers of them, that has been warning. We've talked to them and we've asked them not to break the brotherhood and told them the Bible said strive to keep the unity of the faith and the spirit and the bond of fellowship. We've told them that God desires that we walk as a brotherhood and be together and love one another. Isn't that right? But they wouldn't listen. They're dead tonight. They're in the grave tonight because they wouldn't listen. They thought, sure, Brother Pike, you can tell her, but not me. Brother Pike, you can tell him, but you don't know who I am. But I'm telling you tonight, God said, what I say to one, I say to every one of you. Brother, tonight, God's got one route, God's got one road, and it doesn't matter if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a laity. It doesn't matter if you're a leader. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a boy, a girl, a man, or whatever it is. God isn't going to judge you as a woman. In the spirit, there's neither male nor female. God isn't going to judge you as a man. God isn't going to judge you as a boy. God isn't going to judge you as a girl. God's going to judge you according to the knowledge that you have, according to the understanding you've received, according to what he's put before you. He said, to whom I've given much, I will require the more. The man that would not put his talents to the exchanger, Christ was angry with him and said, take that which he has and give it to somebody else. I want usury at my coming, Jesus said. Now, Ananias and Sapphira tried to hold back on God. You say, Brother Pike, I wouldn't hold back any money on God. I'm not speaking of money. God didn't kill them because they held back money. God didn't kill them for that. You say, can you prove that? Sure, I can prove it. Peter said, Ananias and Sapphira said, wasn't this your money? Wasn't that your land? And the Bible said it's lawful for you to do with it whatever you will, if it's yours. Said, wasn't it your land? Wasn't it your property? Nobody didn't ask you for it. But said you purposed in your heart to become a part of the church and to function with the church and to give your all in the body of Christ. And then you conspired against God and lied to the man of God. You promised to do that. Nobody didn't ask you to do it. Said it was yours before you ever sold it. Is that right? God said it was yours before you ever sold it. But you purpose in your heart something you didn't do. You held back a part of the price. Was it the money? No. That wasn't it. God killed them because they lied to the Holy Ghost. But the love of money is what caused them to lie to the Holy Ghost. Having a little money can do things to people that nothing else won't do. Take a person that don't have any money can be a good person. Give them a little money and they get all warped up and out of sauce. The Bible said the rich answereth haughty, but the poor useth entreaty. Give some people a little money and they get real haughty. Isn't that right? That's why God can't bless some people with something. They're like a stopped up channel. God can't get nothing to go through there. It's like a water pipe all stopped up. Is that right? I've heard it said the reason that nothing won't grow in the Dead Sea is because it's always taking in and it never gives out. Is that right? The Bible said, heap up treasures to your own self against the last days. But there'll come a day when you'll throw your treasures to the bats and you'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you and hide you from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Your money will be worthless. But you see, the love for materialistic values caused these people to lie to the Holy Ghost. Your desire for preeminence, your desire for money, your desire for prestige, your desire to run your mouth and say the things you ought not to say. And it's brought you into a fearful place, into a fearful position, into a place of bad light with God. Why did you speak against God? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I haven't spoken against God, but you did. Jesus said, you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Why did you speak against God? What has God ever done to you? What has God ever done that ever mistreated you anyway? Why did you do it? Why did you conspire against God? Paul said, there's people that go from house to house subverting whole households. He said, these are busybodies whose mouth ought to be stopped. He said, one of their own people called them a bunch of slow bellies. He said, that report is true. Now, why do you want to speak against your fellow man? Why do you want to come in the church and sit back with an old rebellious spirit and be stubborn and sin against God? When the Bible tells you to enter into the church with thanksgiving and in a spirit of meditation and prayer? What is the Bible when the Bible tells you not to sit in the seat of the scornful? Why do you come and do it anyway? Why do you sit in the seat of the scornful? Why do you scorn the preacher? Why do you find fault with the preacher? And you sit there and scorn him through your reasoning and through your thoughts. Why do you do that? Because he doesn't appear the way you want him to appear. Because he doesn't speak the way you want him to speak. Because he doesn't say the things the way you want him to say them. Because you've already been saying things about him before you ever got here. You've already entered into thoughts and conversations that put you under condemnation. And then when you get here, you're under condemnation. Because you've already been running your mouth when you ought to stop it. You say, well, I can't stop it, but God will stop it. Folks, if you've got an unruly tongue, the Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. You might not be able to bridle that tongue, but the Bible said God will root that tongue out of you. They tell me when the communists came into certain places that they actually took the people and nailed them to the floor, took their tongues and put a spike in their tongues, rooted their tongues out. The unruly tongue shall be rooted out. If any man seem to be religious among you, and that man can't bridle his tongue, then that man's religion is in vain. The Bible said if any man backbite against his neighbor or take up a reproach against his neighbor without a cause, then that man, the wrath of God would be upon him. God said for you not to even let the sun go down on your wrath. There's people that get upset in here with their wives and with their husbands and with their children and with their neighbors and go for days in that kind of condition. When God commanded you not to even let the sun go down on your wrath. If you even get disturbed, he said, make it right before night. You might die during the night. Who knows? If you do, you'll go to hell. People are dead because they wouldn't listen. We went to them and tried to reason with them and tried to talk with them. No, we're not going to listen. I've been to them and I'd say, my brother, and break my spirit and try to be as humble as I know how to be. And just more or less fall at their feet, so to speak, because I saw destruction coming on them. And I'd say, my brother, yeah, they would say, I don't have to listen to that. They cut me off. I had one not too long ago. I just poured my heart out to him. Right back like that. Mock me. But he's not here to mock anymore. Let me tell you something, folks. God is real. The Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth when the evil days draw not nigh, when you'll turn and look and say, I have no pleasure in them. What is God saying? He's saying, try to serve me while you're young. Get your heart right with me while you're young. For if you'll start with me while you're young, then you won't have reaping days of evil. You won't have days of evil coming to reap. You can have a good life. Remember me in the days of your youth. Ananias and Sapphira got a lot of them in this day. Why is it? Why is it? Why is it that you let Satan put it in your heart and you have agreed to gather in the Spirit? You see what I mean? God is the Spirit. Their spirit had agreed together, and when you agree to something in the Spirit, you've taken up reproach against God. God is a Spirit. Now you might get upset just on the spur of the moment and say something against Brother Pike, and God would be merciful to you. But when you have an understanding of God and you've been in the church for a number of years and then you sit down with some sister, some brother, and you start taking up a reproach, saying things against God, then you're in trouble. A brother came to me the other day, said, Brother Pike, I saw you putting up a great tower. And said it had ropes on it and men was holding the ropes. And said you had leaders holding the ropes. Said, but one of your leaders had a mouthful of tobacco. You know what that means? That means an unclean mouth. That means gossip. That means saying things. And I happen to know for a true fact that things have been said that ought not to be said that's connected with the man. I know that for truth. Just recently, he's done me injustice. Not only has he done it, but his wife has done it. Not only have they done it, but others have done it with them. That is a spiritual conspiracy against God. If I take up a reproach against my neighbor when they haven't done anything to me, then that is a conspiracy against God. I don't have any right to take up a conspiracy against anybody. I love you. I want to help you. I want to do something for you. But you know what the trouble is? It's because you are carnal minded. I tell you this over and over. It is because you are carnal minded. You're interested in the natural things of life. You're interested in eating and sleeping and riding and buying. You never stop to consider God. You never take time to fast. You never take time to pray. And look, folks, I've said this a lot of times. You can't go to heaven without praying. How do you know you can't go to heaven without praying? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. What makes you think you're a Christian? Do you pray? Do you fast? Do you sacrifice? Do you give? Do you do anything for God? That's what a Christian is. It's somebody that lives a sacrificial, self-denying life to do for others. That's what a Christian is. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. A self-denial thing that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And you keep yourself unspotted from the world. If you're spotted by the world, if you're spotted by gossip and fault finding, it doesn't matter if you belong to the Pentecostal. It doesn't matter if you belong out here at Little Bethlehem. It doesn't matter if you belong to the Baptist or the Methodist or whatever, you're going to go to hell. You have to live holy. You've got to live pure. Let us go on, God said. Let us move up, God said. God said, Moses, let us move up. Let us go. Moses could have said, but Lord, don't you see the Red Sea out there? Moses knew better than that. Brother, if I was standing face to face with that wall and God said, you go through it, I'd take a leap. As sure as you live. I'd take a leap just as sure as you live at that wall. Just as sure as God told me to take a running start that wall, he might let me burst my brains out, but I'd take a running start at it. I wouldn't say, well, God, that's a wall. I can't go through it. Jesus come up to a fig tree, and Jesus said, I want some figs. But the tree didn't give him any. Jesus cursed it, and it withered up and died. See, it wasn't even seasoned for figs. But brother, let me tell you something. When God demands something, it don't make no difference where it's seasoned or not. If I was a fig tree and God come up and said, give me some figs, if there's any way I could do, I'd strain everything in my body to give it to him. Amen. If I could think, I'd think like a machine running. I'd say, limbs, you better do something and do something quick. If God says for you to go to Mexico, you better start looking for a horse and a buggy if you can't get a car. That's right. If God tells you to do something, folks, you got to do it. If God says preach, he means for you to preach. If God tells you to testify, God means for you to testify. God puts you in one of these offices, God means for you to be on the job. Amen. If God tells you to give $1,000 to the work of God, you give it. Don't you say, I haven't got it. That's right, you give it anyway. There's been time when God told me to give $1,000. I didn't have no $1,000. I didn't know where to get $1,000. I'd have been happy if I'd even had $1,000 for myself. But God said, son, give $1,000. I said, yes, sir. I didn't say, where is it coming from? See, he's God. If he said, give it, he's taking care of that. He isn't going to ask me to do anything foolish, is he? If God told me to give $1,000 and he's planning to give me $1,000 to give. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Talking about lying against the Spirit. Folks, when you talk about your brother, the Bible said you sow sin against God. Don't you ever let words come out against your brother. Don't you ever get caught off guard and get all puffed up and feel like you're somebody special and you got a right to harass people and pressure people and be mean to people and take advantage of people. Don't you ever do that. God doesn't give anybody that right. He doesn't even give me that right as a minister. The Bible said you can't lord over God's heritage. You can be an example to the flock, but you don't lord over God's heritage. You can't take control of God's heritage just to get filthy lucre either. We got so many people running through the land, they're wanting to get them a tent, wanting to get them a television program, wanting to get on the radio, wanting to get them a church, wanting to get them a revival so that they can get them an offering. I've talked to a number of evangelists in my life, and I've heard them make these statements. They'd say, boy, I got to get in revival. I'd say, why? They say, well, I got to have some money. Isn't that a reason to get in revival? Those same preachers are having problems today. They had problems back then. And I told them, I said, my lens. I said, how in the world can you think of God like that? How can you do it? We don't get in revival to get money. We don't build a church to have an income. We're sent to preach the gospel. I've heard mention of men like Brother Buckaloo way back yonder that eat plums off of the plum bush and pick blackberries off of the blackberry bush, walked up and down the street with holes in the bottom of his shoes, preaching the gospel to the best of his ability. God didn't promise you nothing fine. He just told you to do what he wanted you to do. But I'll tell you what, if you'll be honest-hearted and you'll love God and desire God and want to do God's will, he'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. He'll give you the best that you can, even greater than you could ever imagine. He'll give you the very best. He'll feed you to the full. But if you gossip and find fault with God and tear down what God's doing and come against what God's doing, God will make you the footstool. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Now, I'm going to close in just a little bit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira. You say, but that's back yonder. No, there's still some Ananias and Sapphira today. Let me tell you something. If you've got money, that's all right. God gave it to you. If you've got land, that's all right. God gave it to you. But don't you ever make any commitment to God that you don't keep. Don't you ever purpose anything in your heart that you don't do. Don't you ever say, God, I'm going to do such and such, and then walk out the door and forget it. Brothers and sisters, when you make a deal with God, you keep it. The Bible said, pay your vows to God because God hath no pleasure in fools. And when you make a vow to God and you don't keep your vow, God calls you a fool. And the Bible said the fool has said in his heart there's no God. That fellow don't even believe there's a God. You can tell the way he acts. Is that right? I hope you listen to some of these things tonight. I spoke of something today, this morning. You don't know anything about it. I can't tell you. I don't want to hurt nobody. But I spoke of something this morning and spoke of an individual that done something they didn't have no business doing. Already they're reaping for it. Already they're reaping for it. They know better than to do it. See, God is real. Let me take just a few more minutes. Don't let the coals go out now. Just for a few more minutes. I ain't going to hold y'all that long. Just fan the sparks just for a few minutes now. Now, used to we'd be sitting around an old fireplace, you know, living in an old country home. When the log burn up, we just fan the sparks and throw a potato in it and bake it right on. Now, let me tell you something. You consider what I'm saying. The Bible said if you would have long life, see good years and days, refrain your tongue that it speak no evil of God. I quoted this morning or the other day. He said, I would that my people that are called by my name would obey me. And this is me, the word. Obey me. That's the proof of your faith. See, folks, you are saved by faith in God. Is that right? Now, if you're disinterested, you can go on home. I got a fellow here, he ain't got enough interest in spiritual things to ever get him over Jordan, that old carnal mind of his. But let me tell you, now look at it this way. If my people that are called by my name, if they will obey me, and this is me, the word, it will be well with them all the days of their life. Now, the Word of God, what is faith in the Word of God? What does it mean, faith in the Word of God? It's when you do what the Word of God said. The Bible tells us that your faith is made manifest. God acknowledges your faith by what you do. When the Word says something, God tells you you have to do it. Paul said having a will is good, but you've got to have a performance of it. It's no good to God if you don't perform it. The Bible says the Jews had the Word, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. So then we've got to have faith in God. And that faith is when we do something about it. When we do something about it. Somebody said, I believe in little Bethlehem. I can tell that better when you're swinging on the end of a pick than any other way. I can tell it when you're doing something here at the church, when you're doing something on the grounds, when you're helping your neighbor. If you say, I'm a Christian, the Bible says a child is known by his doings. I can tell that better when I see you make a sacrifice to feed the little hungry children in India. I can tell that better when you come into this church and submit your spirit and swear to your own hurt when your old carnal mind is all stirred up and the devil's trying to make you hinder the service and sit in the seat of the scornful. I can tell better that you are a Christian when wives obey the husbands. Because that's what the Bible said. That's faith in the Word. I can tell better that you are a Christian when you love your wives like Christ loved the church. I can tell better when you are a Christian when you have a concern about the things of God enough to make an effort, whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, whether it's visiting, whether it's helping some brother or sister need, whatever it might be, I can tell better that way that you are a Christian. We are a known epistle, read of all men. Is that right? We are read. They read our lives. What are you doing for God? Are you making any effort for God? Are you doing anything for God? Folks, you're not a Christian unless you're doing something. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm saved by faith. Noah was too, and it took a hammer to put the faith into action. It took nails. It took a saw. It took boards to put that faith into action, and that ark he built from that faith saved him, and the Bible said he was saved by faith. Is that right? We're going to be saved by faith, but folks, that faith is the faith that's going to make you clean up and live holy and walk right and perfect this little vessel out here like Noah built that ark in the image and likeness of God until it'll float on the waters of time. When the wrath of God comes, if you're not perfecting your lives, if you're not doing anything for your lives, if you're not cleaning up from gossip and from worldly desires and worldly passions and worldly all this worldly mess that's around you, folks, then you're not a Christian. And I say again, talking about them good Baptist folks, them good Methodist folks, them good Pentecostal folks, all them folks that talk about they're faithful to their church, that don't mean nothing. They'll go to hell too. You got to be faithful to God, not to your church. Brother, if you're faithful to God, the church won't have to worry. Amen. All right, can I say just a few more words and close? If some of you people don't quit talking about Brother Pike, I'm telling you for your own benefit. If you don't quit talking about me, not that it bothers me. It don't bother me only in one sense, and that is you might cause some soul to be lost. Because your words can't bother me. It's not going to hurt my soul. But if you don't quit running your tongue about me and talking about me and saying things against me and talking against the work of God and hindering the work of God, God's going to put you in a grave. And you watch what I'm telling you. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm a good Christian person. You'll go to hell. You watch what I'm telling you. If you are a preacher, you'll go to hell. If you are a deacon, you'll go to hell. It doesn't matter who you are, you'll still go to hell. You stop talking about me and other people too. If you don't like my preaching, that's all right. That's your privilege. If you don't like my looks, I can't help it. That's the way he made me. But that's still your privilege. If you don't like the kind of voice that God gave me to speak with, that's your privilege. But I can't help it. That's what he gave me. That's all I got. I'm sure Moses must have looked silly in the eyes of Pharaoh when he went down there with a stick and said, I'm a deliverer. I'm fixing to take these people out of Egypt. I'm sure he must have looked silly. But that's all he had. Now, why didn't God give him a submachine gun? You know why he didn't do it? Because God chooses the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. God wasn't going to deliver humanity with a submachine gun. He was going to hang a human body on a tree. So take this piece of tree and go down there and tell him this is the power of deliverance. Isn't that right? He did it. He delivered him. All right. Now I love you tonight, and I'm not scolding you, nor did I choose this sermon to preach to you tonight. I had some things on my mind that I'd like to have said to you. But folks, listen, there's something going on. Now when God gives you a little lift up or a little message to stir you up like this, it means there's something going on somewhere. You better check up. Brother Pike is not angry with you. I'm not scolding you. I'm not expecting anything out of you. I don't speak in respect of want. Paul said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. I go to God and I pray and I look to God. But something's wrong and something is about to happen or God wouldn't let me do this. I'm going to tell you this in closing. When I have a need, I go to God. Now, I've done this many multiplied times. Just the other day, ain't been but two or three days ago, I went and talked with God. I said, now, Lord, I said, I've got a $1,200 check to meet over yonder. I've got hundreds of dollars outside of that to meet. There was two or three bills coming up, one $200, one $700, right on. And I said, God, in a few days, I got another check over yonder for $1,500 to meet. And I said, oh, $3,000 up yonder, no. Oh, about $1,500 over yonder, $400 over yonder, and on and on and on and on. And I said, God, you said you'd meet the needs. Now I need something. And I said, God, I'm not going down to Egypt for my help. And I said, I'm not going to lean on the arm of flesh for it. I said, God, I believe in my heart there is a real, true, living, genuine God that looks down from heaven and earth, that sees every move that humanity makes. I said, you are real to me. And I said, you're looking at me, and you know my needs. And I said, God, you are going to meet my needs. And I believe that in my heart, because I believe he's real. The Bible said, he that come to God must believe that he's real. Believe there is a God. Believe he is. And believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I said, Lord, I'm expecting you to meet my need now. And all of a sudden, something comes sweeping down over my soul. I said, thank you, Lord. Immediately somebody came in. They said, we've already worked out something, Brother Pike, to where there's a few hundred dollars coming. A little while, another word came, said Brother Pike, said, if everything goes well, there'll be $900 coming. Another fellow come in and said, Brother Pike, we just got word. We don't know where to be, $1,000 to $1,500, but there's somebody sending $1,000 to $1,500. Another fellow come in and said, I had a dream and I was in your office and I saw letters and papers laying around, $200 and $400, and right on and on and on, where people had sent money. Now, why does that happen? Because of the real God. Because I trust him. This is a real work of faith, folks. We really, truly, before the living God, live by faith. Somebody say, oh, Brother Pike, I can just see all the money in you. I can just count the heads. Well, I'll tell you what, you could have counted Friday night. Friday night, they come, not one dime. Was that right? Do that little thing there that they usually put money in, we get it from. Not one penny came in Friday night that I know of. Not one. But God met the needs. God will continue to meet the needs. So see, you folks that count heads, it won't do you any good. You better join the Antichrist system and get with them. They got a better system than we have out here if you're going to count heads. That's right. We go by faith. I go to God and I ask God to meet my needs. And God does meet my needs. And God will meet my needs. Well, I can feel your unbelief. You don't really believe that. But it don't make any difference. Your unbelief don't make the faith of God of none effect. He still meets my needs. He will continue to meet my needs and go right on meeting my needs, because it is the work of faith. And what we've done out here has been by faith. Not one person here, not 10 persons here, not 50 persons here can stand up and even touch what we've done. That's right. If you'd have given your salary for the last 5 years, 50 of you put together, you couldn't touch what we've done. It's been hundreds of thousands of dollars that God has done by a great miracle. He did it, folks, to where you couldn't take the glory for it, and where I couldn't take the glory for it, and where nobody else couldn't take the glory for it. That's the way God works. You love the Lord? All right, I want you to stand with me. Bill was telling me, I believe Brother Bill Cotters was telling me today, said that he had a vision the other night. He said there's so many people around here. He said there's people everywhere. And he said they wouldn't leave. And said when he found out what they wanted, so they said we're not going to leave until Brother Pike prays for us. So that's why we come here, to get him to pray for us. And that might have to do with that vision and, you know, something happening. Yeah, I remember he said that Brother Branham's followers would start coming here after that meeting. You remember that. I've said it a number of times. You know, tonight one of the brethren was coming up. He told me, he said he'd come up from Augusta. He went into a store. And he was telling me how just before he left, he went into this store, and apparently one of Brother Branham's followers or such like works there or runs the store or something. And he was telling me while he was in there that this brother came up, Brother Ned Iverson, which as far as I know is a fine brother. Brother came up and said, the brother said to him, said, where are you fixing to go? So he told him Little Bethlehem. And he said, surely you're not going to drive that far to go to church. He said, well, sure. So I drove a long ways for the devil. And said, why not? He said, well, why don't you come over and fellowship us? He said, well, the Lord has shown me I've got to move up.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Of course,
hallelujah.
I didn't say it right, you know.
Praise God.
But said, the Lord has shown me that if I stay in the things I'm in or go back, no, said, then I'll be going into the darkness. Everything will turn to darkness. And said, Brother Pike, said, the thing that was so stirring about it, said, one of the men turned and said, you mean to tell me that we're in darkness? They said, no. I said, I'm not talking about you now. I said, I'm telling you what I got to do. And he said the thing that was so outstanding about it, said, I turned around and went back home or whatever. I picked up one of your tapes to play it and said, when I did, said, you said, now you can't go back into what you're coming out of. If you do, everything will become darkness. He said, that was enough for him. He come on to Little Bethlehem. God's wonderful, isn't he? Now, I love you, and I know that Leon loves you. I know he does. As a matter of fact, both of Leon's back there love you.
Amen.
Both of them great, wonderful men of God. And they love you. I love you. And these leaders love you. But folks, don't talk. Don't gossip. See, let me say this, and I'll close. I promise you, I'll close. But now, don't gossip. Don't backbite. Don't find fault. There's a real God. He's watching every move you make. His eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according as his work shall be. Remember, there's a God. He watches everything. Now, he lets you go a little while, and he cuts you off. So don't do that. Let's be a brotherhood. Let's love one another. See, I made this statement today. I said, you can't come to this message and then go away. You can't do it. Now, you might come to other messages, and you might leave them, but you can't come to this message and go away. That's what happened to a brother recently. He came and went back. Tonight, he's dead. You can't do it. When you come to the move of God, brother, you got to go on with it. So if you don't want to be part of it, just stay away from it. Don't ever get involved in it. Because when you get involved in it, you're in trouble. So if you don't want to be part of it, stay away from it. Because when you get into this, as sure as I live, as I breathe my breath, you'll have sorrow coming to your home and your life. Just as sure as I breathe. I've been out on the field. I've traveled hundreds and thousands of miles in every home I've ever went to. Where there was problems, there was sorrow that followed. This is a message that I'm just like you. I fear it just as much as you fear it. I think a little more than you do. And I watch my thoughts and I watch my words and I pray and I plead and beg God to have mercy. And if just one of my thoughts get out of kilter, I say, oh Lord, please be merciful to me. Have mercy on me. That's the truth, so help me God. My hands is raised to heaven. I tell the truth and lie not, that if one thought of mine gets out of shape, I plead and I beg God. I say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Even to the intents of my heart. That's the way I pray. Father, forgive me for the intents of my heart. I pray that way because I want it that way. If you're going to get revelation, you're going to have to be clean down there, folks. He ain't going to come in there and talk with you unless you're clean in your heart. All right, let's stand together. Brother Leon said that God had put a potion of our spirit upon him. That's wonderful. And the Bible said God took of the spirit of Moses and put it upon the people. Every time God raises up a move, he does that. Isn't that right? He makes us all one body, one unit, one membership, one move. If we're not all one spirit, then something's wrong with us. Isn't it right? There ain't but one God, and he's the same message in every person's heart. Isn't it right? All right. Don't forget God. And remember little Bethlehem in your prayers. I'm trying to do a little something out here to where you'll have a church home. See, this is yours, folks. It's not... this is not my individual enterprise. I've said this before. I can't put this in my back pocket and run off with it. Can I? So it belongs to you. It's built to stay here. It's in your community. It's your home. It's my home church too. Now, just like it's your home church. But it's your home church. It's the place where we come together. I want to be, you know, I want to have a place to where I can come in too. Worship with you and love the Lord. You got your buildings around here. They're just about finished. We need two or three more big buildings. Maybe the Lord will give them to us. If Jesus tarries, we'll probably build them. But otherwise, we've got enough to make out with. So I ask you to work with me. Don't be contrary to me. Don't talk about me. Be, what have I done to you? See, what have I done to you to make you say bad things about me? I haven't done anything to you that I know of. If I have, if you'll come and tell me, I'll beg your forgiveness. That's right. I'll be the first one to say, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. Because I don't want to hurt you. So then why should you talk about me and find fault with me if I've done you no harm? The Bible said they've gathered together, but not by me. Why did the heathens rage and imagine vain things and gather together against his Christ? See, when the carnal mind gathers against me, that's against his Christ. Because I haven't done anything to you. I don't seek you hurt. I seek your welfare. Now, you might get puffed up at me, get mad at me because I cut across your grain when I preach the gospel. But the Bible said that's not me speaking, that's him. Your fight's with God when it comes to that. You better talk it over with him about that. He's the one that's got control with that. Okay, let's sing these little choruses together. You know, it's so wonderful. Here we are all gathered together again at little Bethlehem. Ain't that wonderful? Somebody say, Brother Pike, what's so wonderful about that? Well, supposing that you was in a coffin tonight or in the grave and you couldn't gather together at Bethlehem. You understand what I'm saying? Wonderful to be at little Bethlehem, isn't it? Sure, I'm glad I'm... Brother Bill Cartridge said today, said, I'm glad I'm in the land of the living. I am too, folks. I'm glad that I'm numbered with the living. They that are out in trespasses and sin are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. It's bad to be dead. But when your soul is dead, that means the root's gone. You won't never grow no more. Okay, stand with us, pray with us. Let's do something for Jesus. How many of you will purpose in your heart with me that this coming year you'll try to do more for God than you ever done in your life? Sincerely, will you do that? Will you do that? Look, folks, the bombing's around the corner. How many of you know that? How many of you know that China, you remember I said that China would be the trouble? How many of you know that? I said your trouble will come from China to watch her when I told you that a long time ago. Isn't that right? She wasn't doing anything then. I said, just watch her. She'll be the trouble. How many of you know that she exploded a bomb or whatever it was the other day? And it was so bad they even tried to keep the planes out of the air. Keep from affecting the planes. America was tore up over it. They're getting ready for something. They're getting ready. See, everybody knows that they're just like they're sitting on a keg of powder. And they know something's about to happen. And every man's getting ready, you know, so he can get that first punch in. Because in this kind of war, the man that gets the first lick is just about the winner. When they hurl one of them atom bombs, I tell you what, there ain't going to be no second backups on that. The man that throws it, that's going to be it. So things is getting bad. I saw them come into Atlanta, Georgia. I want to remind you of this again. I saw the nations come to Atlanta, Georgia. I saw them in a vision. They came to Atlanta, Georgia, and they looked over Atlanta, Georgia. I saw them very clearly. As they looked over Atlanta, Georgia, they surveyed it. Didn't come with a critical spirit, but they come with the right, with an attitude of actually seeing what it was. But they were disgusted. And no wonder. The publications of the Sodomites and what they did. How many remember it? Published in the paper. It is no wonder that they frowned on it. Let's sing a little chorus together tonight. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need. Sing it with me. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. I would take just a minute now, and then we're going to dismiss. I feel it might be good if the ones that don't have little babies laying on the bench might just step up here around the altar for a minute. I feel a few hearts that feel like that they would just feel better if they could make an effort toward God. And just coming to the altar, see, that helps, because that's an effort. And it makes you feel like you're showing God your willingness to obey and willingness to be part of what he's doing. You know, it just does something when you do that. I fear God, folks. I fear God with all of my heart. You might get another minister. You might get one that's 10 times 10 what I am. But you'll never have one that fears God anymore. I fear God with all of my life. I literally shake and tremble when I think about Jesus. He's real. He's a real, true, and living God. I've had to trust him for years. Being trusting the Lord like I did. You want to say something, brother? You know what? Brother Marlowe just told me something. I know that he could not possibly have known the words that my wife spoke before we come to church, because she spoke them in the car with me just before we turned in. Here was it this morning. There was a brother going down the road and we met him. And she said, you know, said, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Said, I know something bound to happen to him. Said, you know, said, if he keeps on, said, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't commit suicide. And Brother Marlowe didn't know nothing about that. And he came here just then. And he said, you know, something bad's going to happen to a brother, and called his name. And he said, the Lord done show me if something don't happen. Said the boy's going to commit suicide. So you pray. The mouth of two witnesses, something is about to happen. And I hope and pray to God that the Lord will be merciful. Don't ever take anything light that a man of God tells you. I warned a fella here. It ain't been but just a little bit ago. You were standing out here when I warned him when he started down across the campground. Brother Leon knew nothing of it. He came right along and took that boy by the arm right here and walked up and down these aisles right here and warned the boy again. And since that time, the boy's passed out twice, and they don't know what's causing it. Since that time, other things has happened to him. He's had other complications. And I believe he's a good boy, Brother Leon. I really do. But see, it doesn't make any difference. If a man of God tells you something, just like if Leon come to me tonight and he told me, thus saith the Lord, I'd shake him a shoes tonight. I would, because I fear God. You say, but what have you done? I don't know of anything I've done, but I'd still shake him a shoes. And I wouldn't rest till I talked to God and I prayed and talked to God and made sure that every little thing in my heart was right with God. That's right. I fear God. I fear God. Now, it would pay you to fear God. If you're a young lady tonight, come around up here. Push your way in front and come around up here and stand up here. Because if the man of God tells you something, there has to be a reason. You say, but Brother Pike, it couldn't happen to me, but it will happen to you. Folks, I'm not lying to you from my heart. I know that there's some people on the campground that's going to have bad trouble. I know they are. There's death knocking at the door down here at the campground. You remember what I told you. More than one trailer down there, and there's only 12 down there. But more than one trailer, there's death knocking at the door. So you better do something. I'm not telling you something I've hatched up or something I've thought up, but I've done seen sorrow and heartaches coming. So you better do something. Of course, if you don't, that's your business. I'm not going to try to press you into it or make you into it. The ones that's dead and passed on, there's been a number of them among the congregation. I can think of three just like that. There's been more than that that's passed on just since we've been here that's been in the congregation. People that love God, and they've gone on. A lot of sorrows and a lot of heartaches. A lot of others almost went on. But I quit trying to tell them because I tried to tell them and they wouldn't listen. And I said, Lord, let me tell you something. It's bad when the minister says he ain't going to work around the tree no more. That's true. That's true. I walked off from a person just recently. I went to this person and I said, oh God, I'm going to work around that tree a little more. That was the essence of my thoughts. You know, I'm going to help him a little more. And the fellow cut me to my heart and something said, leave him alone. And I walked off in a few days. He was gone. See, when the minister don't work around the tree anymore, you're in trouble. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to stop. I love every one of you. There ain't one here that I wouldn't want to see come to the Lord. But I said the other night, there's a young boy here. And the boy is a fine boy. He's just as fine as he can be. But there's a spirit that's got his life. He knows better than to do what he's doing. He's not making any efforts to change nor go to God. He's just taking it for granted that everything's going to be all right. But he knows better. There's something down in his heart tells him that he knows better than to do it, but he's going on. And already, I'm hoping and praying that I'm wrong. But already, there's something that seems to begin to focus not very far away from here. And if that boy doesn't do something, I feel like that it's going to be to the sorrow of the mother and daddy. That's right, I do. So whatever you do, do something. And these young girls tonight that the brother spoke of, do something about it. Come on around up here and let me pray for you. If you're anywhere in the age range that Brother Leon spoke of, come up here and let me pray for you. Come around to the front. Come over here in the middle around to the front where I can see you and know who you are and know that you want prayer. How many of you appreciate our young girls? Do you appreciate them? I appreciate them. I want you to lift up your hands with me tonight. Get rid of that old spirit of suspicion and everything else now. And lift up your hand. These people need help. It might be your daughter. It might be your son. It could be my son. It could be my daughter. See, God's no respecter of persons. Sin, sin. Job was a perfect man. But when sin came, the tornado, the sorrows, the heartache struck Job's house and his children died. God's no respecter of person. If God would do that to a just man's children, what would he do to some of ours? So let's just slip our hands up now. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for these young girls here tonight. Now listen to me real close before I pray. There's a woman here, and you're a fine woman. You're a fine woman. You've been in and out and up and down, but you're still a fine woman. You've got a fear of God. You don't want to do anything wrong. And I believe you're trying to watch your tongue. But the one thing that you're not doing is getting interested in spiritual things enough. You're not interested in spiritual things enough for God to take care of you. You need to get more interested in spiritual things. All right, let's just lift our hands up now as I pray for you. Father, these great men of God have spoken, men of prayer, men of fasting, men that have fasted many days, men that have prayed many hours. They've spoken. And dear God, I'm not the one to say anything except have mercy. But Lord, tonight I'm asking in Jesus' name. I know that you're the head of the church and you're the boss of everything. And Lord, you're the chief over all. And Lord, we are but crumbs in your sight. But dear God, tonight I'm asking you to have mercy upon me and upon little Bethlehem and our labor and upon our precious brothers and sisters and upon what we're trying to do. For we fear the exceedingly great, Father. And oh God, even as in Nineveh, when the prophecy came, when you would destroy the place, Lord, and when they repented, oh God, and you had mercy. So we repent in our hearts, Father, that you might have mercy upon little Bethlehem and upon our inhabitants and the people here. And dear God, upon these little ladies tonight, these young girls, I pray that a spirit of love, a spirit of kindness, a spirit of purity, a pure heart, a clean mind. Father, you said only the pure in heart shall see God. And knowing that God is a spirit and that spirit is a revelation, Father, to know that I've got to be pure in my heart before that revelation will be revealed to my heart, Father, before I can see you with the eyes of my understanding. And I pray tonight that they'll have pure hearts, not only the young women, Father, but the elderly women, all of our women people, all of our men folk would have pure hearts, God, that we might see thee as thou art and know thee, O God, as thou art, and to understand thee and to love thee and have you to love us. Lord, I know tonight that the words that Brother Leon spoke, Father, could be my daughter, it could be any daughter here. But Father, I know of a young lady here, God, that I saw in a vision. And oh God, this young lady, Father, I saw her. Lord, she's in that age range that our brother spoke of. And I saw this woman in a vision, this young girl. Father, she pushed over her feelings and made a pass at a young man. At a young boy, when the boy had no time for her, but she pressed over it in a filthy way, Lord, and made a pass in having the boys on her mind. And she was dirty and unclean, Father, in the vision, Lord, in the things that she did. But I'm asking you in Jesus' name to have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy on this daughter, Lord, because she's somebody's daughter tonight. And I'm asking you to have mercy on that son tonight. Father, this married couple that our brother spoke of, have mercy on them. And Lord, this man that Brother Marlowe spoke of, God, I beg for mercy tonight. Have mercy, dear God. Lord, be merciful to us. Inspire us tonight, Jesus. Lord, be kind to us. Help us fulfill the number of our years. Let us be a great team and a great brotherhood. Lord, that won't pierce each other through, that won't gossip, that won't say anything. Lord, because we know when we say something against our fellow man, Lord, we're breaking ranks. We're piercing each other through. We're not part of that great army. Because you said the ones that was members of that army wouldn't do that, God. Lord, have mercy on Mitch tonight and heal Mitch's body. God, bless our brethren that are sick tonight. Heal their bodies. Make them strong. And dear God, be merciful to us. Keep us safe on the highways from wrecks, from problems. Go with us to our homes tonight. Oh, Lord, and keep us from fires. Lord, don't let fire burn our little homes down. Don't let tornadoes wreck our little homes. Don't let wrecks on the highways take our life. Don't let diseases take our children. Dear God, be kind to us. Don't let us lose our soul with the lust of the flesh. But be merciful to us. Help us in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Let's sing this little chorus together while we stand here. Oh, there's room at the cross for you.